And they were shocked that he'd spend time with this sinner, you know. But he said, "Lord, if I've wronged anyone, I'll give it back to him fourfold." And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because I came to seek and to save the lost. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather give. Give to the one who asks of you. And don't turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Give. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They'll pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. We are never more like Christ, I repeat it, than when we give.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, "You Shall Not Steal." We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
We were over in Europe and looking at these beautiful cathedrals. You know? And there in Prague, that one, I can't think of the name of it now, but where every hour the clock is such an amazing mechanism, and the 12 apostles rotate up there mechanically, and everybody just stops in the square and looks at it, you know, well, every hour, because it's such a marvel of beauty and architecture and everything. And then we said, let's go up the tower so we could see, because Prague's a beautiful city. And so we went up the tower, and Chris went to get her camera and said, "Where's my billfold?" And it was gone, and it was stolen right there in the old church, you know, in the crowd right around the church. And, you know, you go through life, and we just learn that that's just the way it is. I mean, you've got thieves breaking in to steal, so we've got alarm systems. You've got bank vaults. You've got safety deposit boxes. That's just the way life is down here. Man takes and takes what isn't his. That's just what we do by nature, our sin nature. God gave, but man takes. And takes what isn't his. And you don't have to teach your kids. In fact, one of the first overt, clear sins you'll see your children participate in is taking. Just watch a couple kids. Share the toys. Or not share the toys. And it's just the way it is on earth. Stealing. Don't, God says. It's characteristic of earth. It will be missing in heaven. Remember what Jesus said? Lay your treasure up in heaven where thieves don't break in and steal. There'll be no stealing in heaven. A great characteristic of heaven will be no stealing. Now, the foundation, it seems, of society, really, and of civilization. Yeah, this is such a central one that everybody seems to understand. Turn over to Proverbs. I want us to look at Proverbs, the book of wisdom, and see a few comments on this. And I'll have you turn to Proverbs 6. It is very foundational to civilization itself, the respect of ownership of property and not stealing, the prohibition of stealing. Even if you're in need, do not steal. That's the law, not only of God, but of civilization. And interestingly enough, and we didn't have the time last time, and you know, last week we looked at the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery," and we saw that Jesus took that law in the Sermon on the Mount and expanded it, and it's very right for us to see all sexual sin within that prohibition and the beauty and design that God has for the marital relationship, and all abuse of that is so disastrous. But I'd like to read the context here in Proverbs 6, because both these sins are talked about, adultery and stealing, and of course they're very similar, taking what is not your own. But he says, verse 20, "My son, observe the commandment of your father." Young men, listen to your dad. Listen to your godly parent. "Observe the commandment of your father. Don't forsake the teaching of your mother." And I'll skip down, but he's verse 24, "to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Don't desire her beauty in your heart, nor let her catch you with her eyelids. For on account of a harlot, one is reduced to a loaf of bread. And an adulteress hunts for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? so is the one who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished. Men don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry. But when he's found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. The one who commits adultery with a woman is lacking sense. He who would destroy himself does it. Wounds and disgrace he will find, and his reproach will not be blotted out. For jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept any ransom, nor will he be content, though you give many gifts. Now, two things that clearly teaches. Beware of sexual sin, he says. You know, if a man steals when he's hungry, people understand. Even then, they demand restitution seven times. But adultery? What can you do about it? There's no restitution for fornication, adultery, and these things. He says, watch out, my son. Listen carefully. So that's something that really fits with last week's lesson. But then embedded in it, look at verse 30 and 31. And I say, even if you're in need, don't take what isn't yours. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry. And we can understand it. If someone steals when they're hungry, everyone can understand that. But, the scripture says, when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. There must be restitution. And in fact, the proverb says, the book of wisdom says, sevenfold. Even stealing when in want. Don't let it happen. Boy, we need to hear this in our generation. You know, we have such a victimology in our thinking. We think that people, the only reason they'd ever take anything is because they need it. And we've indulged in worldly thinking, and the breakdown of our culture is accelerated when we fail to listen to God's standards in this. And I tell you, our generation really needs to hear these point-blank statements of Scripture. I can understand it if somebody's hungry and steals, but the Scripture says he must repay sevenfold. Even if it means selling everything he's got, verse 31, he must give all the substance of his house. Let me tell you, parents, don't make excuses for your kids in this area. In fact, I would say watch for early on lying and stealing. And don't think it's cute in any way, shape, or form. Deal with it and punish it. Even a man who steals when he's hungry should repay seven times, the scripture says. And we need to teach our children early on. Our culture today is full of stealing. As we've turned from God, stealing has become more and more the norm. You ask any businessman, whether we're talking about from shoplifting to the kinds of triple and quadruple checks that you have to have on all your employees and still wonder if you're really not being fleeced. It permeates our society. And once upon a time, you know, you could leave your keys in the ignition of your car. I remember my grandpa telling me about that. Oh, yeah, we just left the key in. We forgot we had a key, kind of. You know, we just, back in the farm, we'd just leave the key right in the ignition, and I'd just marvel at that. You know, and there was a time when people left their houses unlocked, and they certainly didn't set 16 different codes and alarms, you know. Am I just hearkening back when I say these things to the good old days? No, I'm saying we've turned away from God. We're turning further and further away. There's less and less knowledge of who God is, and so we're reaping the benefits or the repercussions. But God hasn't changed, and he will not change, and neither do his standards. And I want you to remember tonight that to steal, to take what isn't yours in any realm, is to profane the name of God. Look over at Proverbs 30. Proverbs 30. I love this statement because it's a great prayer to pray. And you might, if you're not familiar with it, it might be, I wouldn't be surprised in a group this size, someone would say, boy, that's something I ought to pray. It is something we ought to pray. Verse 7 of Proverbs 30. Two things I asked of thee. Do not refuse me before I die. Just the way he puts it, you kind of say, wonder what he's going to ask. Two things I've asked of thee. Don't refuse me before I die. Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. Oh Lord, don't give me riches. I could see that if I had a bunch of wealth, I might start to say, I'm full, what do I need? And deny the Lord. And keep me from poverty, Lord, because I know what I'm capable of. And if I were in want, maybe I'd steal and profane your holy name. Stealing has no place in the life of a believer. Stealing is satanic. Now, I know I don't throw that term around lightly. But the thief, Jesus said, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's made of. He's a liar from the beginning. He's a deceiver. And he takes what he can whenever he can. He came to steal. Stealing is satanic. It's the immoral woman in Proverbs 9 who says, stolen water is sweet. And I mentioned last week, God isn't picking on women when he personifies that sin in that way. That's what he's doing. He's picturing sexual sin in that way. And sin tempts people that way by saying, stolen water is better. It's better to have what's prohibited. It's better to steal what you can't have rightfully. Beware of stealing. You know, and I kiddingly talked about stealing in pulpit time, but I would say that we need to expand our mind and think it's not merely a matter of taking money or taking things from other people. You know, the Old Testament spoke, didn't it? The last book of the Old Testament, of stealing, robbing from God. Turn over there, Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 7. Israel's unique relationship with the Lord and their duties to obey his word and obey his law. Verse 7, from the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? And this is the way of Malachi, the whole little book of Malachi. God says things, and they kind of argue, well, what do you mean by that? How could we do that? And there's this debate going on, and he says, you return to me, and I'll return to you. And they say, but how shall we return? And he says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed thee? He answers, in tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Why? Because God called Israel to bring a whole tithe into the storehouse, and they were just neglecting their duty. And he said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, verse 10, so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until there is no more need. That's a strong statement, but he said, you're robbing, you're stealing from God by keeping that which is rightfully his. And you know, I believe Christians can get involved in that. We're not under a rigid law of tithes, but yet that greed, that covetousness that is the root problem with stealing is we're very capable of hanging on to what we have rather than putting it at God's disposal as we're supposed to. And many a Christian is no doubt in effect stealing from God by not really giving as we ought to. So let the scripture, you know, speak to every area of life, taking and keeping that which is not rightfully yours. It has no place in a believer's life. And I'll tell you, you know, we rightfully flee to the cross. I mean, these things, when you just examine the law just a bit, It shows you your sin. The straight edge of the law. You know, I do a little woodworking, and sometimes when I pull the straight edge out, I don't even like to look at it because I see what my work really is, you know, how unsquare it is, and I go, oh, put that thing away, you know. I'd rather pretend that I did a good job rather than really examine it. But the law teaches us to really examine our lives, and we need to let it speak in every realm. And there is no place for stealing. And it's right that we flee to Christ. It's right that we enjoy Galatians 3. But having said that, it's a suspect Christianity that would not call for change, complete change in these areas, that would not call us to God's standard. In fact, what did Jesus say when he was here? He said, you've taken my house and made it what? A den of thieves. Turn over to Jeremiah 7. That's where he was quoting from. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jesus quoted this, and again, these prophetic statements to Israel are good for us to listen to. Behold, verse 7 or verse 8 of chapter 7, Jeremiah, you're trusting in deceptive words to no avail. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, and offer sacrifices to Baal, and walk after other gods that you've not known, and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we're delivered, that you may do all these abominations? Has this house, which is called by my name, become a den of robbers in your sight? Behold, I, even I, have seen it, declares the Lord. It won't do to say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and go out and steal and kill and rob and commit adultery and live as the world lives. It's rank hypocrisy. And Christ showed his attitude toward it when he wove that rope into a whip and drove them out. Get out of here with that kind of thinking. And he quotes from Jeremiah 7. You know, the Apostle Paul, Romans 2. Turn over to Romans chapter 2. When he spoke of hypocrisy, he spoke of this issue, stealing. He said, verse 21, Romans 2, you who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? Fairly point blank. You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? Drop down to verse 24. He says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Boy, is your word honorable in your business dealings? Are you known as a man who can be completely trusted, or do you steal when you can? And you say, well, I don't like to think of it as that, Scott. No, you don't. None of us like to call it what it is. We like to say, well, you know. But he says, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. The scripture comes down hard. Well, what should be our attitude? I mean, I've mentioned that it's prevalent, that it's condemned in Scripture. Well, turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And he says, you know, in a simple way, and this is so often the Scripture is just so clear this way, what should be our attitude? What should be our actions? What should be our demeanor when it comes to this matter of stealing? He said, in the end of chapter 4, he's talking about the transformed life, the transition from the old life to the new and what the difference is. And he says, he gets specific, verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer. I know before you came to Christ, you did that, you stole, he says, but don't steal any longer. Rather, let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. Instead of being a malicious and evil taker, which is what stealing is, taking what isn't yours, that was what you were before Christ. He says, now, don't do that anymore. And instead, what? Work. Labor with your own hands so that you might have, so that you can be a giver, so that you can help those in need. Instead of being one who takes, the Christian is transformed into one who gives. We become Christ-like. We're never more Christ-like than when we're giving. Zacchaeus stole. And he was a tax collector. That was almost like saying he was a thief in those days. And when Jesus came along, Zacchaeus listened up. And they were shocked that he'd spend time with this sinner, you know. But he said, Lord, if I've wronged anyone, I'll give it back to him fourfold. Remember? And Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because I came to seek and to save the lost. Let him who steals, steal no longer, but rather give. Give. Give to the one who asks of you. And don't turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. That's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Give. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 6, verse 38? Give, and it'll be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They'll pour into your lap. For whatever measure you deal out to others, it will be dealt to you in return. We are never more like Christ, I repeat it, than when we give. Christ Jesus came into the world to give his life a ransom for many. He saw us in our need, and this law only shows us our desperate need. Which one of us could say, I'm no thief, when we really let the whole Word of God speak to our hearts? We needed a Savior, and God provided a Savior, and he gave his only begotten Son. And he tells us, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather labor so that you can be giving. And we should be giving in every area. And as the law shows us our own crookedness, so God provided a Savior, and we do rejoice in proclaiming him. And even tonight, as I've, you know, and during these nights when we've looked at these specific commandments, maybe God has used the straight edge in your heart to show you your own sin. Maybe you've always been one who said, well, I try to do my best, but when you see the straight edge of God's ruler, you say, I need a Savior. The great news, why we celebrate, why we sing praises tonight, and why we rejoice as Christians is that God did provide a Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you tonight for such a salvation. Thank you for Jesus. I thank you that you gave your only begotten Son that we might have life. And Lord, I pray that our lives would be like yours, that you'd conform us to the image of your Son. And in this particular area, as we've seen the severity of what stealing really is, that it's satanic, that it profanes your name, that it is completely out of character with one who is yours. Oh Lord, I pray that we would be known as honest, upright givers, not takers, and that our lives would bring glory to you in this realm. Oh Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the time tonight to worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, You Shall Not Steal, a message from our series, Through the Book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So, currently, we're offering the entire book of Exodus, that's 52 full-length messages, over 30 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the Old Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request along with your gift of any size to the Ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000 or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon 97280. You can also simply click Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
Then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in office in those days. And the judges shall investigate thoroughly, and if the witness is a false witness, and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. And the rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you. What does God think of bearing false witness? He has quite a bit of safeguard here in the Mosaic law. And he says, I want the whole nation to see so that this sort of thing will not happen. The rest will hear and be afraid, and will never again do such an evil thing among you.
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, You Shall Not Bear False Witness. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.